Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, your host for today, and Pat Schlarbaum is with me here. And thank you for listening in.
Hello, and we're going to be talking about the Chinese New Year.
We'd like to wish you a happy Chinese New Year.
Happy New Year, yeah. Today is the first day of the Chinese New Year. To be exact, it is 8 p.m. of the New Year Day in China.
Last Friday, we spoke with two Chinese-American residents of Ames, Cindy Yu and Jingtao Wang, who described Chinese New Year celebrations through their memories when growing up in China, and they explained how this holiday time can be really compared to our Thanksgiving. In some ways, it's Thanksgiving and Christmas all wrapped up together, in its spirit at least, a major holiday for the family gatherings, and it involves a family feast. And in fact, one of the things that Cindy Yu pointed out is that with so many people in China traveling to see family, it's the largest transportation mobilization event in the world.
So today we'll hear from two more Ames residents who grew up in China. I was looking forward to this segment all weekend. It started on Friday, and here we are back on Monday.
First, we have a few things we'd like to tell you about the new year.
By recorded Chinese history, this is the year 4,714 by the Chinese zodiac. It is the year of the monkey.
The year of the monkey. Considering what we just went through with caucus time, the idea that this election year is the year of the monkey some kind of resonates,
well,
right?
Well, yeah, you probably won't want to make too much of that, but that, I see the correlation.
Anyway, never mind.
But, yeah. But the Chinese New Year is the most significant festival throughout the Chinese history. In Chinese language, it is exalted as the beginning of all festivals. There were different versions of the origin of the Chinese New Year. The most commonly believed was an event in 2000 BC where the Emperor Shun, S-H-U-N, led all of his imperial court officers to a ceremony to worship the heaven and the earth for their blessings to the nation. So that day was designated to be the very first day of a new year. And as the festival was deeply rooted from celebrating peace, harmony, renewal, union in family, solidarity in community, and in the entire nation, this ancient tradition remains to be compelling to and observed by the people in China and the Chinese diaspora. The Chinese New Year celebration lasts for a period of 15 days and is known as the Spring Festival, as it is the beginning of spring. Festivities and customs vary regionally in China. The main activities are, most importantly, family reunion, the New Year Eve feast, the New Year countdown celebration, worship ceremonies to deities and ancestors, gift giving, visits to relatives and friends, among others.
So we do want to wish you a happy Chinese New Year. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, together with Pat Schlarbaum, one of our board members here at KHOI, who is a Chinese-American, Xinyang Jiang Durbin, introduced me to a number of people who could describe this holiday through their own memories from growing up in China. I really, really enjoyed this process of speaking with all these people, and I'm really looking forward to sharing what Kay Han and Peng Wei, the two people we're going to listen to today, told me. They share very, very different experiences, mainly, I think, because of the differences in their generation over a period of time when great changes happened in China, as well as the area of the country they came from.
So Kay Han came to Ames about 20 years ago. She is a physicist and microelectronics researcher and has worked at Iowa State University and the Ames Lab. She was born and raised in the southwestern part of China.
I asked her to describe the region where she came from. She described growing up in what was not only a remote and beautiful part of the country, but also a historic and unique time, the Cultural Revolution.
It's mountain. It's kind of like
mountainous.
Mountainous, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And before, because of the traffic restrictions, it's kind of like very hard to access and poor. But now, because the transportation has improved a lot, and the highways and the airplanes, so the province become tourist attraction and recently, and very, very beautiful.
Like these Chinese paintings where they're very kind of unique mountains that kind of stand alone.
Yeah.
Very steep.
Yeah. I grew up in the city and I went to the countryside, one of those mountain places during the Cultural Revolution time.
And what did you do in the mountains?
Farming. After graduating from high school, Cultural Revolution, which Mao invented, And then, or college, you were just sent to those places and to be re-educated, which is labor work and like I was 15, 16 years old. And
you went by yourself?
I went by myself.
And where did you live?
I lived with the family.
A local family?
Local family, villagers. And that was required by government.
Did you make friends?
Oh, not a friend, the whole village. They were friends.
Did you like the family that you lived with?
I do. Nice people, and get to know them so well. And you really lived in their life, in their shoe. Every month, because I was from city and the government had some supplements like meat and something else every month, monthly supplies, very limited. And every month at that time, the family host and just cook that, and the whole village like come to enjoy it because it was very, very poor.
And what kind of work did you do?
Growing rice in the rice field, wheat field, depend on the season.
How long were you required to do that?
2 years. Was after two and a half years, I came back to city and worked in the TV station. And then at the time, the college reopened.
Was there anything about that time that you feel that you gained something?
I gained a
lot. What did you gain from it?
The perspectives of hardworking people, less privileged people, and appreciation of everything. I can remember personal experience. And I can enjoy the beautiful thing. I was very nearsighted during high school, and I was good at the time. My vision was good at the time.
Your vision improved?
It improved a lot because I didn't read or study.
Oh, so you looked at beautiful mountains.
Beautiful mountains and the rice field, wheat field.
I asked Kay how she remembers the New Year celebrations. In the farm village where you were, they eat anything special or did
they saved all the year just for the time.
And what did they say?
The eggs, chicken, or a little bit like meat because that time was very, very poor time and resources are so limited.
How did you celebrate New Year's Eve as a child in your family?
Chinese New Year, kind of like, I think, kind of like Thanksgiving and Christmas combined here. Thanksgiving is family gathering time, so it's Chinese New Year. So whenever you are, you just go back. You cook the best meal, and they will make dumplings.
Dumplings.
Yeah. And
is a dumpling considered a festive food?
Very much, yeah.
So it's not an everyday food that you eat?
No. Dumplings like kind of represent happiness, and also you have time there together to make it while making it and chatting and sharing.
And what did you put in the dumplings?
For meat and with the spices and something for fun, like you put something special in there, like a coin or something.
In the dumpling?
In the dumpling. And then whoever fetched it has it and is supposed to be the luckiest person for the year.
So you would have dinner together?
Dinner together all night.
All night?
So from afternoon to the midnight.
So you
like
would just
that.
Have different courses?
It's like always eating, always chatting. And then like 10 p.m. So, oh, what should we eat? I'm kind of hungry. Oh, let's make some desserts.
So you hang out?
They hang out, yeah.
And and what do you do while you're hanging out?
Chatting, playing cards. That was my time. Now people do a lot more, like singing and watching TV.
So New Year's Eve is a time for
family. New Year's Eve, basically family, yeah.
And do you go out after eating? Do you have fireworks? Or?
Yeah. In the big city, like they have fireworks, really intensive and much beautiful than we had here.
Here,
in Ames.
Better.
Yeah, much better.
What makes them better?
The grand level.
Are they more artistic?
Yeah, artistic and more dramatic.
They fire more at the same time?
A lot more in the beautiful sky lighting.
And then, okay, so that's New Year's Eve?
That's New Year's Eve.
And then what happens? And then it lasts for a few days, right?
It's Chinese New Year usually festive, kind of like from New Year's Eve to 15th. It's 15th is kind of like a conclusion of the festive.
Mm-hmm. So what happens during those days?
After Chinese New Year's Eve, after like a first day, it's usually it's like visiting friends, visiting other relatives, and older people, they give the red bag, small little red bag to younger generation, especially kids, just for the happiness.
And what's in the red bag?
It's money. Usually.
Money?
Yeah, just money. And
so the children keep the money?
Children keep the money, or they just run out to buy some candy or firecrackers right away with the money. And it's just like a happiness, and you like to see kids are so happy at the time, and also the older people, they are so fulfilling of the giving, you know, at the time, satisfaction, the happiness for the older generation, especially grandparents or great-grandparents. You do shopping, you eating, not that formally, but very relaxedly.
Do you have any particular New Year memory yourself when you think of the Chinese New Year?
When I grew up, it was a very difficult time in China. So Chinese New Year time was a time kids got a pair of new shoes or a new clothes. That was a very happy time.
So you remember getting things that you wanted.
Yeah.
So how do you celebrate Chinese New Year here in the United States with your family?
We actually don't because that time always, for many years, and we always not together. Kids are always not here. And my husband and I, two people, we were very simple. And
you and your husband don't do anything?
I cannot think of anything very special like we can do to celebrate the Chinese New Year. So we always like have a few friends together.
And have a small party?
Have a just like a small party type, like a gathering. That's about it.
And during this period, these 15 days, do you think about it? Or
no.
But
because this time is so unique here, it's a school time, it's a working time. So it was not too easy to even go back to China to be with family. So after my parents passed away, basically Chinese New Year is not on my calendar. I plan to go back in Chinese New Year. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, very traditionally, farming was the basic activities. So during the Chinese New Year time, it was like after the whole year of hard work and the harvest, and this is a time to enjoy the hard working year and relax and prepare for next year. Spring come and then another year comes, and it's so was very very treasurable. Time. And now, because the society is so much different than before, especially in the city. For example, we made the dumplings, like a family time, made the dumplings together, like family activity, actually chatting, laughing, eating. But now, especially in city, you can buy all kinds of dumplings from store. And it's so much easier, but it doesn't feel, at least I feel that way. You don't feel like that personal anymore. It's just not fun anymore, I think, that part.
In speaking with Kay, I came to appreciate her as a person who had not only transformed large historic events, events that might leave one bitter, like the Cultural Revolution, into personal and deeper appreciation for humanity, but also someone who really, whose life embodies huge change, economic, geographic, and culturally. So I was really curious about what she saw as her legacy, her children, and the history she wanted to pass on to them. So I asked her a little bit about that. What do you think that you took from the family life you had as a child? What did you carry with you to your children?
Very interestingly, my children oftentimes, when I ask them even before they actually make money or whatever, and then when I ask them if you need money, if you need anything or whatever, they always say, don't worry, we're okay. You guys were okay during the Cultural Revolution. How can we not be okay?
What does that mean?
Cultural Revolution was a very hard time. They feel like they are so much more fortunate than our time at their age.
So they have a respect for what
they had a very good, great respect for what our journey was, and then they kind of carried the good part of it. I never say anything like to them directly about anything like that, but they kind of picked up this kind of parents' life journey.
You're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, and we are celebrating the Chinese New Year this morning. Thank you for joining us, and Happy New Year. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, and my co-host is Pat Schlarbaum here on Chinese New Year Day. And we've also been joined by Sinian Zhang Durbin, who is Chinese American, and she has been providing the information and the guests that we've been having the pleasure of listening to today.
We have been listening to the memories of the Chinese New Year holidays as described by Kay Han. By the way, today is the New Year Day.
That's right.
And it's by the Chinese recorded history, this is 4,714th year today.
Wow.
Kay is more or less of my generation. We both lived through a difficult period in recent Chinese history, that is, the Chinese Cultural Revolution in the 1960s. Some of our New Year experience during those years reflected the political and economic hardship at that time. However, despite the deprivation and hardship, family love sustained and preserved all. Through a passage of over 4,000 years, the Chinese New Year witnessed the rise and fall of the Chinese nation, reflecting the societal status quo. Next, we will hear Peng's recollection of his Chinese New Year experience while growing up in China in another era, starting in the beginning of the 1980s.
He is really a person who represents a different generation with completely different experiences. He's a relatively young assistant professor at the Aerospace Department at Iowa State University, and he's lived in the United States for 9 years and is starting his family here. He and his wife have just had a new baby daughter. Peng is from a city called Lanzhou.
Basically, the meaning is the city of daffodil.
They have daffodils in China?
Yes, quite a lot. But although the city's name is very beautiful, as a matter of fact, from the history, the city is a very important military fort because the city actually is the frontier of our major race, which is Han.
How does the city look?
The city is very beautiful because it's surrounded by mountains, and there's a river, actually Yellow River, running right across the city.
Did you like growing up there?
Yes, a lot of good memories are back there because I grew up in a very good atmosphere and in the middle of several races, cultures, and people. We know how to respect each other and we have all sorts of different foods. For example, mm-hmm. We have Muslim, we have Tibet people, we have Mongolia people, we have different people coming together and, mm-hmm. you know, their mm-hmm. restaurants are representing their own mm-hmm. culture. Yeah. Having multiculture is a good thing.
Peng described New Year's celebration as he remembered them from his childhood.
The dinner is an important thing for the Chinese celebration. So the preparation goes very long, and then maybe from noon all the way to evening, kind of like Thanksgiving.
So what do you eat?
Wow, a lot of things. The major thing, of course, is dumpling.
Dumplings.
Right.
And do you make the dumplings?
Yes, so the dumpling is not all about the eating. It's also about the process of making dumplings because, mm-hmm. You know, all the family members can sit together and at the round table and everybody is making dumplings and talk about their past year mm-hmm. and talk about their hope for the new year. That's basically a communication mm-hmm. platform for all the family members.
You were accustomed to making dumplings the afternoon before New Year's Eve?
Yes. As a child, I'm not really good at making dumplings, but I'm pretty good at making dumplings wraps. Mm-hmm. So I make the wraps for the dumpling.
Yeah. And did you enjoy sitting around and doing that?
Yes, yes.
So people had fun when they did it.
Right. Not every family member will stick around for a whole year. So maybe they only travel back for like maybe 2 or 3 days, only for Chinese New Year. So it's awesome that sitting there and hear all their stories in the past year.
What happened in the year?
From other cities, from other countries. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The joy of family gatherings was the main thing conveyed to me by every person I interviewed, as you said, Sinyin. Pong added another very enjoyable detail about the dinner that I had not heard anybody else talk about. Before eating, his parents offered food to two gods.
In my home, before the dinner, we will always provide this dinner to the gods. The same plate, but before our family have it, we will first kind of present all the dishes to the gods.
You make it a plate for the gods, and you put the dish on the dinner table? Or?
In my home, we just put it on a dinner table, and we have some rituals. For example, we need to bow, and we need to kind of pray that, for example, please give us health and fortune in the coming years, things like that. Mm-hmm. And the two important gods for every family, the first one is called the kitchen god. You know, looks like the title is just maybe a god in charge of the kitchen, but actually that god is actually auditing officer sent by the centralized god in the sky who has been auditing the whole family for a year.
And keeping track.
Keeping track, yes. What good things did you do? What bad things? The family, getting around good or bad? Mm-hmm. What's the problem need to be solved? Mm-hmm. And then 7 days before New Year's Eve, that god will report to kind of the king of the god that every family, what happened in this year and what help do they need. Right on the Chinese Eve, that god will return from the palace.
And so that's what the dinner's for,
is to welcome
him
back. And yeah.
So this guy, he's more about getting you help than punishment.
Right, right.
He's a helper.
Yes.
Oh, so he's kind of like a guardian angel type.
Right. Right. So, yeah, you are right.
So he's
the
a
guardian
helper.
Of every family. Yeah.
Oh, very nice. Does this god have a physical manifestation?
A nice-looking, kind-looking old man. But most of the houses nowadays, they don't have the picture of this god anymore.
You just know he's there.
Right. But we are talking about two most important gods. The other god is in charge of the fortune, money.
Oh.
Of this family. Uh-huh. So that's why I think most of the family in China, at least in the Chinese New Year, they will have that picture showing you out or display and then present, all kinds of stuff to that god.
And what's he look like?
Also looks like an old man, but more like with all the jewelries all over him.
A rich old man.
Yeah, a rich old man. Yes, yes.
A rich old man with bling.
Yeah, yes.
So you present both of these gods with the dinner first and you pray to them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have dinner and we watch the program. So in my generation, the same time people having dinner, we will watch a TV show gala hosted by CCTV, which is the Chinese version CNN, I think. So they will host this Chinese gala or show performance every year, running from 8 p.m. all the way to 1 a.m. It's a very long show about dances, singing, and all the other art performance. So we eat dinner and we watch the show. After dinner, we clean out the dinner, and because of the extra thing, we will intentionally make, much more. And then everybody collect the dishes and put there in refrigerator and enjoy the TV program all the way until 12 o'clock. Some family will start to play board games or poker or mahjong. But in my home, we just, after clean up, we just sit there and watch the program and until it's 12 o'clock and we will launch our firecrackers and also the fireworks.
Did you enjoy watching the TV show?
Yes, the TV show quality was very, very good. Yeah.
So people would sing, dance, perform on stage. That's what they did?
Yeah, magic, all sorts of things, acrobat.
Oh, so it's very entertaining for you to all the elite performers in China.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Getting invited to that thing proves you're, you know, you are very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The gala show had been mentioned by a number of the folks that came in the last week to talk about the new year. So I checked for gala on YouTube and found a recording of the 2015 gala performance. It really is worth seeing. It brings the spirit of the people celebrating the new year to life and starts out with a really spectacular overview of different areas of China and landscapes. So it's really fun to take a look at it. According to Peng, inevitably the evening ends with fireworks. This is China after all.
Yeah, exactly at 12 o'clock.
Go outside with fireworks.
That's a major round of firecrackers. Yes, midnight, 12 o'clock, Chinese New Year Eve. And there are several rounds. For my family, we went to bed about 1 o'clock, 1 a.m. after the 12 o'clock firecracker.
And then you wake up again?
Yeah, wake up around 6, 7. Uh-huh. When the daylight starts to come, that's the second round of firecrackers.
The next morning. Was this all fun?
It is one of the great memories in my childhood to launch firecrackers nonstop for a couple of days during the Chinese New Year. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And where do you buy firecrackers?
When my parents get all the holiday groceries and ingredients
done. They buy
done,
firecrackers.
And, you know, yeah, at the same time we bought firecrackers. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I asked Peng how he remembered New Year's Day, and he described a little bit of the holidays that followed.
So officially, in the old days, the holidays will always last from the eve and first day all the way to the 15th day. There was kind of a guidebook.
Your family didn't do that.
We didn't do that.
So what did your family do?
We have nice meals and we go and visit our friends and families. Because when I was a child, I think the official holiday will terminate on the 5th or 7th day. So we only have like 1 week.
And then you went back to school.
Right.
And people went back to work.
Right.
And do people sometimes go out to eat in restaurants instead of having dinner at home?
Right. That's a great question. So this is a new thing in China, especially in the big cities, for example, Beijing and Shanghai, because sometimes hosting your family, especially for large family, it's really, really stressful. So people tend to go to a restaurant to eat out. That's definitely a new trend. On that day, different restaurants will have their Chinese New Year menu. Like you can pick and customize, and then you can call them to pre-order them and decide what dishes you want. And then everybody sit there and eat.
I was curious how Peng perceives the future of this holiday as his life as an immigrant unfolds here in the United States. He didn't seem too optimistic about the traditions surviving, which was kind of a surprise because he gave such a colorful description of the past. On the other hand, this year it seems that the holiday has come back into his life in full force, which was very nice to hear.
When I came to the States, I never had a chance with my family to celebrate Chinese New Year.
So you missed being with your family.
Right. I think I'm not missing the Chinese New Year, but actually I'm missing the togetherness thing with my family, yes.
How do you celebrate New Year now?
One of the greatest thing is that this year I have a chance to celebrate New Year with my parents because they are here.
Oh, nice.
To help taking care of our baby daughter, which is only 8 months old. They can only stay for 6 months, but they really enjoy staying with my baby, so they are asking for an extension for another 6 months.
A baby extension.
Yes. This is a very precious time for me. I had opportunities to celebrate all the Western holidays and also Chinese traditional holidays with my closest family, my parents, my wife, and my child.
So what are you going to do with your family?
Before, it was only me and my wife. We actually didn't remember all the traditions. But this year, because of my parents are here, they really stick to every, you know, steps of the New Year celebration. For example, they start to clean the house 7 days before the New Year. Our family are kind of in a intense mode because every day we need to clean something. And also, remember we talk about the kitchen god will go to the king of the god to report the progress of my family, which is 7 days before the eve. And my parents also celebrate that.
Your parents came, you weren't praying to those gods?
No.
Oh.
Because the new generation kind of...
doesn't do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And are you going to make dumplings?
Yes.
And then you're going to have a Chinese dinner?
Yeah.
But you're not going to have the TV show to watch?
We will also the TV show because there will Apple TV stuff streaming the Chinese TV program. We have everything.
So would you say that is it dying out with younger people?
Yes, with younger people, definitely dying out. But who knows? I heard some of Chinese undergrads, they have great cooking skills. Mm-hmm. So maybe they also get together and eat together.
Mm-hmm. Why is it dying out with young people?
In my parents' generation, and taking care of their family very well. But in our generation, most of the family has one child. So we are spoiled. We are not good at housework. We are not good at cooking.
So you grew up as an only child.
That's right. Most of the people I know grew up in my generation, grows up in
an only child.
Yep. Although I have, classmates, I have friends in school, nothing beats that, playing around with my cousins and,
The big family then.
Yes.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm your host today, Ursula Rudenberg, and I'm here together with Pat Schlarbaum and Sinian Zhang Durbin. And we are here to wish you a Happy New Year today, the Chinese Happy New Year, the Year of the Monkey, starts today. Sinian, thank you very much for sharing these friends. I enjoyed meeting them so much and also for sharing your own memories. How do you celebrate the New Year in Ames?
Having been living in this country for 38 years, this is much longer than my formative years in China and also in a cross-cultural marriage. I have often been asked such question by friends from both sides of the Pacific. In many ways, I've been very much bicultured, just like my name in both sides of the hyphenation, Chinese-American. However, the Chinese New Year in China, it's called Bai Jie Zhi Shou. That means that's the genesis of all festivals in the Chinese race. So the Spring Festival also is another term of Chinese New Year, had an irreplaceable place in my heart thus far. Even though there is no Chinese New Year atmosphere for the festival here, especially in the Midwest, there are some on both coasts. Mm-hmm. Every year, I still cook a nice New Year Eve dinner of the traditional dishes for the New Year, especially the meatballs, particularly special in my family. That's always cooked by my grandmother, and it carries so much loving memories of her. And I stay up late on New Year Eve night for the longevity of my parents. That's another custom. I put the lucky money and the red envelope under my son's pillow on the New Year Eve night when he's asleep in the belief that my child will be richly blessed in the New Year. Actually, I just rushing off the house. I forgot to put it underneath the pillow last night. So I quickly put on the side of him before I left home for here this morning. Yeah. Also, gift-giving to relatives and friends is another New Year practice of mine so far. So all in all, the festival has been a very special time of fond memories of my loved ones and my native place and of a sense of renewal and of a reconnect with my ancestral land, Mother China. Well, thank you for joining us for this very special program of A Local Talk. Now, we would like to conclude the program with a Chinese New Year music entitled The Spirit Dance of the Golden Snake. In Chinese, it says, 金蛇狂舞.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I'm one of your hosts today, Ursula Rudenberg. I'm here with Pat Schlarbaum and Cindy Anjung Durbin, and we've been enjoying the celebration of the Chinese New Year, which is today, starts today.
Happy Chinese New Year.
Pat, I hear that the Decorah Eagles have adopted a nest.
Yes.
And are at it again.
Yeah, it's a replacement nest. Listeners might recall last July, the nest in Decorah came down and Bob Anderson was so concerned that there may not be an eagle cam this year, but it was determined maybe we kept the camera close by and made a simulated replica nest that possibly they would take it over and have the cameras installed. And listeners can now go to the site, Decorah Eagles, and you'll see some courtship. You'll see some things that we can see down in Gray's Lake. Coming up this weekend.
So what's happening in Des Moines?
Well, we have a lunch with Eagles on Friday, February 12th, and that's at 2100 Fleur Drive. It's Gray's Lake, so it's a couple miles north of the airport, where there's been a nesting pair of eagles for the last 5 or 6 years. And a couple years ago, we saw some stick carrying, and it's that time of year. There's courtship underway with our native bald eagles. It's really quite a charming situation because there's a walking path, bike trail. And so we set up there at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, February 12th.
So it's like a lunchtime presentation.
Yeah, come on down and you'll learn about the eagles and bring your lunch. I'm going to try to get a food cart.
Then on Saturday, there's also an event?
Yeah, we do a longer program. It's more of an eagle expo. We'll have a live eagle, compliments of SOAR, Saving Our Avian Resources. Kay Newman brings her live eagle, and that's at the Fellowship Baptist Church at 1503 Southeast 6th, Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. People can enjoy their national symbol in all its glory. We do have a replica bald eagle nest that a lot of the kids sit in. The joke is a couple years ago, a pair of nesting eagles saw the replica nest and said, we can do better than that. So now there is a second nest in Des Moines, Iowa, right off the Southeast 6th Street Bridge. So we've got the best of indoor programming and the wild birds right there. So come on down February 13th, Saturday, 10 to 4 at the Fellowship Church.
We'll also put the information on the website
on
KHOIFM.org.
Thank you, Ursula.
Okay, well, thank you. And Leanne Harder has also joined us from the Story County Board of Supervisors. Leanne, it's good to have you with us here again. Congratulations for making it over.
Thank you.
From
that sounds odd, but yeah, thank you.
I was thinking about you and the roads from Nevada. So let's talk about C2C. Would you explain, first of all, what C2C is? And you're going to give us a report on it, right?
C2C is the simple acronym for from cornerstone to capstone. And we just call it the C2C plan. It is the county's first attempt at developing a comprehensive long-range plan. We've had a very long, long history of planning in Story County, but it has been primarily from a land use perspective. And so in this effort that Story County started right around a year ago, it's to take it beyond that to incorporate other things such as economics, housing, emergency preparedness, of course, land use again, but transportation and natural resources.
And what's the time span that's being looked at?
Early December of 2014, we released an RFP, and then during early 2015 went through the process to select a consultant.
But I mean, in terms of the time span you're looking at.
The plan. Oh, that's a good question. We're looking 20 years ahead.
20 years
ahead. So it's from 2016 to 2036.
And you've been inviting the public to give input into these plans, to give you feedback. What kind of information have you gathered? What has really stood out?
Well, very important to this entire project is the opportunity to have public input. And as you said, we're on our second round of public open houses. We've had four thus far. What we've been doing at each of these open houses is the same format for each and every one. There's some boards there that people can look at. They have what the draft goals are in the plan. Then there's a future land use map, and we're asking people to really give some preferences.
So the meetings are still ongoing?
We have one more. It was scheduled for last week or 2 weeks ago here in Ames at the public library, but that's when we had this snowstorm. So we have rescheduled that to Monday, February 22nd. But what we have
going on. And what time is that?
6 to 7 p.m.
So that's the 22nd, 6 to 7 p.m. at the library.
Right, yeah.
And this is an opportunity for people to give input into the plan?
It is. And it's not the only time. There's other opportunities. There'll be a C2C task force meeting February 11th, so this week. But at any time, they can go to the C2Cplan.com website. And from now till the end of February, participate in a virtual open house. What we did is we videotaped the Ziering open house and public meeting. We have that as well as the recording from the Maxwell. And the presentation given was the same, but some of the questions were different. Those are both on the C2Cplan.com website. And then you can see all the boards, and you can actually participate virtually from your home. And so I think that's a wonderful opportunity for someone that, you know, maybe doesn't want to go out in the middle when they get home from work. Mm-hmm. And we value everyone's input. And so I strongly encourage people to go to the website and do that. Even if they've attended open house and they thought of something afterwards, oh, I wish I would have said that.
Say the website again.
C2Cplan.com.
Okay, so lots of opportunities to have your voice heard here.
And even
what kind of, tell us a little bit about what you've been getting, what kind of feedback?
Really, there's been lots of questions on transportation. Kind of what's the rationale for paving certain roads in certain areas? The need to continue to build broadband, especially in the more rural areas of Story County. We're fortunate in Story County. We do have a rather strong network, but it's not where it definitely could be. And that will be addressed in the plan. It is, but I think we'll see it strengthened. I've been looking at the dots. When people come in, we give them some dots, and they can look at all the different – there's about 40-plus different goal statements. They can prioritize them.
So which goals have come out as the highest priority?
Some of the ones I've been noticing are the land use ones. Continuing our tradition of protecting our agricultural resources. Housing has had a few goal statements, but really the preservation, our conservation of natural resources.
Is a high priority
that's
for
been
people.
The trail planning components, the educational aspects of our conservation department.
Was this a surprise to you, or was this pretty much what you thought?
It hasn't been a surprise because I've been at Story County long enough, so I know that where some of the priorities of our residents lie.
And it lies in land preservation.
It does, but what I have been surprised about is how that the trail planning aspect has really kind of evolved. We've, as I said, had a wonderful conservation department for many, many years. And this plan that you see with this 20-year plan does show from some new trail alignments to really make comprehensive trails. And there is, I think, some support for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good to see.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, that website, anyone can go there. I even did it this morning, check it from my phone. It's mobile enabled. Wouldn't recommend doing that this morning when anyone's out, but go get to work and check it out. And
is there a deadline for when you can give input?
No. We anticipate this going to start the public adoption process, if you would, probably April and May, starting April with a work session, the Planning and Zoning Commission. Then their recommendation to the board in May or maybe even March and April, and then the board having a work session, Board of Supervisors in May, and then adopting it or taking some form of action in June. Up until the time it's signed and stamped and sealed, this will be a living and breathing document for Story County.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's our first attempt at doing this, and it's been a rather smooth process, but we want to make sure that we get down to the last minute, someone said, I've never heard about it. So
right.
Having public input and being as transparent as we have can be has been very important to this process.
Is there a way to see the results online?
Of the surveys that we've done?
Yeah,
there is. Actually, Chapter 2 of the draft plan has some summaries, but then Appendix B, of the plan, which is online too, has every single comment that we received through the surveys we did last spring and early summer, not cut at all. the raw data. Chapter two, we want to keep the plan itself manageable in size. If we put all the survey results right into the plan, as well as some of the demographic information that's found in chapter one, that would just be so. We kind of get lost in the weeds, and that while that's extremely important information, it's a snapshot in time, especially the demographic data. So we want to include it, but know that like maybe on a biannual every 5 years, we need to go back and look at that. Mm-hmm. And if we attach as appendix, it makes it more manageable.
Okay, well, thank you. Let's talk about a few other things that I know you want to mention today. You mentioned something about passports.
I did. Well, it's really coming into the recorder's office busy season now for passports. Kind of that January kicks off. People, especially days like today, start thinking, I want to be somewhere warm, maybe outside of the United States. The recorder's office in Story County Recorder's Office in Nevada is a passport agent, and they even now take passport photos. So it's a one-stop shop. Those passport photos, you come in, you say, I want to apply for a passport. They have it all set up really, really smooth. But they want to make sure that everyone realizes if you need a passport, check your date of when it expires. 2017 seems to be when a lot of them will be expiring. And get in and start getting the process, because with it being now coming upon during the busy season, it may take longer to process and go through the U.S. Passport Agency. Mm-hmm. So just go to Nevada. You can get everything you need done and start planning ahead.
And check your passport date.
Check your passport
date. I think you're right about my passport. I think it is 2017.
Yeah, and I actually meant to go and ask the recorder what's magical about 2007, what shifted. But I'll do that. Maybe come back next time with that. But for those of you that traveled in 2007, look at them. Make sure.
And news from the Story County Veterans Affairs?
Yeah, tonight, hopefully the weather holds. The February Sons of Norway event is going to be held at the community center up in Story City. And Story County's Director of Veterans Affairs, Brett McLean, is going to present a program that he's titled Valentine for Veterans. And he's going to go over what happened with the 2015 Freedom Flight, which will be the last Freedom Flight that Story County has done. And I think it was a very special one for many people, and not just in that sense, but just what it meant to be out there. Then the Disabled American Veterans, mm-hmm. DAV Mobile Service Day, they come to Story County once a day with their mobile office, or once a year with their mobile office. They'll be here for the day on April 1st from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., so you can get some help with federal filing for your VA benefits. That will be held at the Human Services Center, which is on Kellogg, in the parking lot there. You'll see the mobile van out there, and they, like I said, they come once a year, and it is a very, very good program that Story County is able to bring. And mm-hmm. But again, any questions you have for Veterans Affairs, Brett McLean's a man to go to.
Okay, and real fast, two more items. Can you summarize them?
Yes. Seasonal employment. Story County Conservation is coming up that time. You just start thinking summer. There are so many seasonal job openings with conservation. The first few are for 18 years and over. They have 9 positions for conservation aide, park ranger aide, summer seasonal naturalist, a vegetation management aide, and then a waterfront aide. And that waterfront aide works at Hickory Grove. And I think you just have to be 16 for that one.
So where do you apply for that?
Go to Story County's website and look for under Human Resources for open positions. Or you can also send a cover letter and resume to Story County Conservation at storycountyiowa.gov. And Tuesday, February 16th is the deadline for that.
Okay. And
county offices are closed to recognize President's Day next Monday, February 15th.
Good to know. Okay, so passports may expire in 2017, and the county offices are closed on Monday, May 15th.
Exactly. And if you have any questions about anything you've seen or heard, you can contact me at 515-382-7247.
Okay, and this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. We should have sun on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So earlier in the show, we had a special co-host in honor of the Chinese New Year, Sinian Jiang Durbin. Pat Schlarbaum was also here talking about the Eagles, and we heard from Kay Han and Pang Wei. Local Talk is on KHOI at 7 a.m. and noon and 7 p.m. And you can also hear this show and past shows and various links to the things we talked about at khoifm.org. Local Talk was engineered by Richard Morrison. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kay Challey. Local Talk is a radio production workshop as well as a radio show. And if you'd like to join us, please contact us at 292-2878. We will train you to be a reporter. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends. And remember, your participation as the listening audience is what makes this show and KHOI possible and meaningful. Thank you for listening. See you again on the radio, and Happy New Year.